is the Doomsday Podcast. Matt Mosley, vacationing Matt Mosley. But boy, you have to come in from the beach at a big moment like this. Ed Werder working the beat, as always, was in position today. In case anything happened, it did not. Deadline comes and goes at 3 o'clock Central, and Dak Prescott will play next season underneath the franchise tag. Ed, we knew this was where it was headed, and I think all your reporting and everything we were hearing was suggesting nothing big was happening at the last minute. But still, I think, you kind of wondered, could there be some last deal to create good feelings, in the aftermath of this Pat Mahomes? Could the Cowboys pull something off? They certainly did not. Now that it's actually officially happened, Ed, are you, given the history of this, and you've well documented that, how surprised are you that they were not able to find a long-term contract?
Well, I'm not terribly surprised by it, because it seemed that they've been in intractable positions in this negotiation for quite some time. It shouldn't take 16 months to get a deal done. And I've just been told, in terms of how the day played out, that in the hours before the NFL deadline for teams to sign franchise tag players, that Dak Prescott and Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones had a very brief, what I was told is a check the boxes 5-minute conversation that the team requested, and Todd France, the quarterback's agent, helped to facilitate. Jerry and the Cowboys front office have a reputation around the league for believing that they can finalize contracts if they can converse with their player directly and privately. And so they reached out multiple times today, officials within the organization, to convince Prescott to give Jerry or Steven an audience. And so he sought the advice of his agent. His agent, Todd France, suggested he go ahead and return the call, and so he did. In addition to that, France also spoke to Stephen Jones in a separate conversation, but there was no significant progress made on a long-term deal, and so now Prescott becomes just the third quarterback in NFL history to play on the franchise tag. And his salary of $31.4 million is the highest salary cap number for any individual player in the NFL this season. And as we all know, it's only going to escalate from this point forward and create even more challenges for the Cowboys next year under the salary cap, especially if it winds up being a flat cap or a reduced cap, because income in all likelihood is going to be greatly reduced in the NFL, assuming there even is an NFL season this year.
Yeah, that certainly appears to be the case on all those fronts. I'm fascinated by these discussions that took place today. You're right. Jerry loves the thought of Jerry the deal maker. Let me talk to the player. I think these agents have been known over the years. Let's do everything in our power to prevent that from happening. So interesting that Todd France said, yeah, I'm okay with y'all having that conversation. To the substance, Ed, of those conversations, do we have any sense that did Jerry move significantly? What do you think? This was more of an emotional plea, hey, do this with us, do this 5-year deal. I mean, what do you think these conversations entailed?
From what I can gather based on the conversations I've had about it, I don't think any significant progress was made on any of the issues that have resulted in this impasse. Obviously, neither side substantively changed their negotiating position, or a deal would have been done. So I don't think the Cowboys suddenly said to Dak, hey, we'll offer you a 4-year deal, because if they would have done that, then I think that the deal gets done. So I think it was more of an opportunity that the Cowboys feel like, if they can just talk to the player directly, they can help him to understand arguments that maybe they've made to the agent that they feel haven't been conveyed in the right context or with the right emphasis to the player. And that if they do that directly, maybe they can make the player see their point of view and accept their position in a way that maybe otherwise doesn't happen when the negotiations are conducted indirectly between the team and the player. I think there have been a lot of times where agents have accused Jerry of this kind of conduct, and he's insisted that they don't do anything of this sort, and that it's illegal or it's unethical, and they would never engage in such activities. But here's another example of them making that attempt, and I don't blame them for that. I mean, if I had a player that I was offering $100 million to, and he was my player for 4 years and my starting quarterback, and I made him, I put him in that position, and I supported him, and I own the team, maybe I want to have that conversation with that person directly too, because I've had different relationship with him than I have with the agent, or that the agent has with the player. But ultimately, nothing of consequence was accomplished, and I think that was the expectation. I think the interesting thing now is, what happens, because as I mentioned, the only other players at the quarterback position in since 1993, when the system was put in place, to play an actual season on the franchise tag are Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins, who did it twice, and both of them wound up leaving their organizations to get long-term deals elsewhere. And, the common denominator in those situations was that there was not universal belief in either player within the organization. I know in the case of Brees, they had already acquired Philip Rivers, had spent a first-round pick to get him from the Giants. And so there were people in management who were advocating that Rivers be given the starting quarterback job, and I think Marty Schottenheimer favored Brees, while nobody in the – there seemed rampant indecisiveness about Cousins as a franchise quarterback within the Redskins organization before he went out and got that historic all guaranteed deal with the Vikings. Now that doesn't seem to be the issue with Dak and the Cowboys, but as Troy Aikman mentioned to us when he was a guest a couple of weeks ago, this certainly doesn't help that relationship between the player, the most important player on the team, and the organization. You wonder how it's going to play in a locker room. And I understand if Dak Prescott, who feels that he hasn't been treated fairly, how could he be the one player not to get what he considers to be a fair deal? He's played at a sub-market deal for all 4 years. He started every single game for 64 consecutive games, by far the longest streak in the NFL for anybody who wasn't a first-round pick. How does he wind up being the one player in that locker room not to get what he considers an equitable deal? And I think that's the thing to watch as we, keep an eye on, monitor the situation going forward. And certainly it creates a potential for Dak Prescott not to be the Cowboys quarterback 2 years from now.
Yeah, and I think that's a shocking part. You and I, especially you with Aikman, had a front row view on that. And I joined you on the front row view with Tony, and I was trying on my radio show earlier today, Steve, you'll be proud of me, Ed, I did call in during vacation and made an appearance on my own show. And I was the only time I could recall that Tony, it even was a little bit, got a little bit interesting until the end there, was that 2007, he got off to a very hot start. That was the final year of his deal. And, you and I broke that story. He was getting a little bit perturbed with Jerry five, six, seven games into that season. And then he started putting up huge numbers. And Jerry, got the deal done. And they did a huge deal. You remember the whole thing was going, they're going to get a Mark Bulger deal. That was the thing. That was what they were comparing it to. Well, he ended up getting a huge deal. And then he ended up getting another big, enormous deal. So they never let Aikman, they never let Tony get close to anything like this. And I get it. Hey, Aikman played in a different era. All these numbers are so huge. All these eras feel differently, but Tony's certainly a better comp than Troy would be. But think about how they treated Tony. He treated him like a son. So on one hand, I think we both think that, this is different in a sense that, this is different than Cousins. This is different than Brees. I do think there's a deep respect, and the Cowboys know they absolutely lucked out in getting Dak Prescott, who's put up great numbers. But what Troy said to us was so true. You can't help but think this is going to be in the back of Dak's mind moving forward. And so
let's be specific about what what Troy said, because I happen to have transcribed it. And it was here on our show a month or so ago. And he, you know, questioned whether Dax ever gotten the credit in the organization that he deserved, and mentioned the comments that Jerry made during Dax's rookie 13-win season, but what a great story it would be if Romo came back and won in the playoffs. And then Troy said specifically, I'm going to quote him now, if he can't come to an agreement, knowing Dak, he's going to go about his business like he always has. But I would think deep down there might be those feelings that maybe he's not as respected or appreciated as much as he'd like. When you're talking about this kind of money, the only question to ask is, can you win a Super Bowl with him? And if you can, you sign him and pay whatever's necessary. And if you don't, you look for other possibilities.
Yeah, I think that's everything you need to know. And that's a really good frame of reference. And you and I have been bringing that up a lot via Twitter and via some of the other social media in this thing. Again, the news today coming down, the deadline has come and gone. And Ed, you've done a really nice job today. I've tried to every once in a while retweet you and put a little something out there myself. I would just say that I said something. It's a very obvious point, but I think it is interesting to think about. If they were able to go win a Super Bowl this year, then Dak, I mean, you know, Jerry then would just have, he would be happy to do it. He'd be happy to break the bank and do this forever. But if they, let's just say they don't win the Super Bowl, there's always that chance.
He might not be able to. I'll recap being whatever it is.
Yeah, although I think at that point, in order to not look like some just, absolute Green Acres type idiot or something, Jerry would have to break the bank, even if it meant screwing his team, you know, in the future. I mean, literally, it's kind of like a few years ago. Did we all think Joe Flacco was the greatest quarterback ever? No. No, I mean, I don't think anybody was going around saying, oh, my gosh, Flacco, he's the unbelievable. He won a Super Bowl. And it was like, all right, yep, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter anymore. He gets $63 million. Now, the funny thing is, who got the exact same deal, Ed, as Joe Flacco?
Well, the problem here will be that Dak is going to be, at that point, another year closer to unrestricted free agency, which might have great appeal to him. And he's negotiating off not the $31.5 million he's being paid this year, off next year's franchise tag number, assuming he would get that, which is, you know, $37.7 million. And you know, you mentioned the Super Bowl. Well, the Cowboys, with this happening the way it did, and Dak Prescott not only being the first franchise tag quarterback in team history, but now the first to play on the franchise tag, the Cowboys accomplished nothing with the advantage of having a quarterback start every game while playing four seasons on a rookie contract, a fourth-round pick contract. And they wasted that advantage instead of winning a Super Bowl with it, like Patrick Mahomes just did with the Chiefs, or like he did in Wentz's rookie year, his second year when he played so well and helped them to win 11 games before getting injured. Or really challenging for one, like the Rams did, you know, with Jared Goff making it there. Cowboys come to the point that he had to finally fire the coach for the past decade. And now they're committed to proceeding with their quarterback, the highest compensated players in the entire league for the foreseeable future, unless they permit his departure in the prime of his career. And obviously, if you look at where, you know, big picture, let's remember where we were a year ago at this time, the Cowboys entering training camp to negotiate extensions, you know, all three of their most important players, Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper. And it didn't go according to plan at all. Instead, they got leveraged by all three players. You know, with 2 years of team control remaining on his rookie contract, Elliott stays as a training camp holdout and signed only when he forced the Cowboys to make him the highest paid player in the league at his position at the time. And then taking advantage of the Cowboys having to use the franchise tag on Prescott, Cooper manipulates the situation and is able to solicit offers as an unrestricted free agent, exploited that opportunity into a huge offer from the division rival team in Washington, and that forced the Cowboys to pay him at the top of the market. And now Now Prescott is going to be the highest paid player in the NFL, at least based on the amount charged to any team salary cap of any player in the league this year. I mean, this is no way to build your team. What he's going to count against the cap potentially versus what Patrick Mahomes, who's already won a Super Bowl, already been Super Bowl MVP, been in the league 1 year, you know, 1 year less than Prescott. I mean, his cap numbers are $5.3 million, $24.8 million, and $31.5 million. He's never in the top five during the next 3 years. Dak's numbers are $31.4 million, $37.7 million, and $54.2 million. So you can see the disadvantage that the Cowboys are going under with these three players, with by having lost their negotiations with all three of these players. Yeah, they beat Lael Collins and they won against Jalen Smith, but they didn't win any of these three deals.
And to your point, the context that all this is happening in is that the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and you already brought this up with Pat Mahomes, but I'll reinforce the fact that they won it with Pat Mahomes, and then they had a couple of years left on it. So for a couple of years now, and again, everybody's so focused on the $45 million a year, I give that's a huge number. But first of all, it's a fixed number. It's a fixed number for 10 years. So no matter what, you'd like to think the economy might come back. But someday we'll find a vaccine and we'll get past this pandemic. I mean, they've got a fixed amount for that long, and they have all the control. They can walk away. Yeah, he gets some guaranteed money, but in the NFL, they can walk away from these contracts. They probably won't want to because he's unbelievable. And for two years, they can keep doing whatever they want to do for a smaller amount than what you just said, the 31.4. Over the next 2 years, what is it, Ed, for Mahomes? It basically adds up to about 31.4. Am I right? For the next two years, Mahomes and the Chiefs?
30.1 million, and Dak will be 69.1 million in the same time frame.
Okay, so
he's going to count. The Cowboys are paying, are being charged on their salary cap six times as much for Dak Prescott as the Chiefs are being charged this year for Patrick Mahomes, who's the generational. A talent who's already accomplished everything you could accomplish in the NFL. And that's the reason they were able to sign their franchise player yesterday, Chris Jones, the defensive tackle. They were able to do that because they were able to manage their quarterback's, income and how much he's going to charge against their cap.
Do you think that Clark Hunt just wrote, kind of rolls by Jerry's house? They live over there in the same neighborhood and just kind of gives him a little wink. I mean, they are on top of the world right now. Now, again, if the Cowboys somehow were able to pull off the Super Bowl with Dak Prescott, Dak would have the greatest he would have the greatest leverage of any quarterback ever. And he would be sitting there, and he could do whatever he wanted. If he was still mad about the way they treated him, he could walk away. If he wanted to make $48 million a year, he could make $48 million a year. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. But this is – and Ed, I hadn't even mentioned it yet. You've seen this, I know. Dak's brother, Tad, has sounded off via social media on Twitter and basically said, I wasn't a Cowboys fan before my brother got there, and I don't know how long I'll be in the future. So it's always interesting. A lot of times in these negotiations, the loved ones will be a little more willing to come out there with some of those raw comments than the actual people, the actual stars that have been involved in the negotiations. So, but I think that is a tell. I mean, certainly if his brother feels comfortable enough to, I just have a hard time thinking Tad just went, kind of lost his mind and did that without Dak, without Dak.
Yeah,
who knows? You never know what brothers do, but still, I got a feeling that Dak's like, no, it's okay. Leave it out there.
Right. I mean, I think one of the things that, because this has not been, at least from the agent point of view, Todd France has not been willing to negotiate in the media or kind of reveal to the public what this negotiation has been like. And because because of the unique circumstances, there hasn't been any access to Jerry and Stephen Jones this offseason since the draft. You know, they've kind of been quiet. There's been a lot more acrimony and conflict in this negotiation than people are aware of. And I think that's what Dak's brother is sort of revealing. You know, I think it's naive to assume that Dak Prescott's going to finish his career with the Cowboys. I mean, while Troy Aikman and Tony Romo spent their entire careers in Dallas, let's not forget that Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, you know, Brett Favre are among the quarterbacks who played for multiple teams. And the Cowboys are putting themselves in a very difficult position in terms of having enough cap space to create the kind of team they want. Now, they'll tell you that's why they've held the line on this deal with Dak Prescott. That's what they've said all along, right, on all these deals is they're only going to allocate a certain amount because they want to be able to create a competitive team while having your quarterback, your most expensive player, charging most amount of any player is really not a way to create a competitive team and maintain a competitive team. Now, I think Dak has a lot of respect for the value, you know, of the star on the side of his helmet. He's recognized, obviously, the financial value of being the quarterback for the Cowboys, most visible team in the NFL, the most valuable in all of pro sports, and playing, you know, in a place where there's no state income tax. That all has value to him. But this could be certainly a matter of pride, and I think it's got to be hard for Dak Prescott, given the level of commitment he's demonstrated, given the fact that he took over for Tony Romo and played so well and gained the confidence of the coaching staff in the locker room to a point that Romo never got an opportunity to get back on the field and win the job back when he was healthy. I just think he has to feel wronged in all of this. How can you have the commitment and the work ethic and exceed expectations and your draft status and what you've been paid by the organization to the degree that Dak has and be the one guy who gets taken advantage of by the organization and doesn't get what you feel you deserve?
Yeah. And think about what you just said. You've got two new guys, right? Dontari Poe and Gerald McCoy, who have called out the owner for not speaking in the aftermath of George Floyd's murder. You already have that sort of atmosphere and people across the league, Richard Sherman included, calling out the owner. You put on top of that, oh, your franchise quarterback. You had all this time to get this worked out, and you didn't do right by Dak. Now, again, I get it. The Cowboys made offers. I don't want to snowball it. But at the same time, Ed, I'm just trying to add, there's a lot right now that Jerry, during all this, he's got some things to overcome, and he's got some baggage right now as they enter a season, which may or may not happen. We hope it happens. We'll see. Last thing I was going to say, Ed, to you, by the way, are you hearing anything on, I know this will shock you. I wanted to make sure you and I were in position to do our pods from Cowboys training camp. And recently I jumped on there. You've been proud of me. On like July 8th or 9th, I jumped on the deal to request my credential online. And it said that it was already too late to do that. So the good news is now that you're back with ESPN, which last year, if you'll remember, you were kind of on my dime, and then boom, your ESPN picked you back up right around the same time. I know you're taken care of, but I may need your help is what I'm saying. If we are to cover training camp the way we're accustomed to, I may need a little help from you, because my relationship with the PR staff, I know you've had some ups and downs with them. You, shockingly, your relationship is better than mine right now.
It's a matter of, you know, it's a temporary situation, Matt. I'm sure you can just get out there in front of them and they can interact with you and you can do your magic, a little magic show that you do, then I think there's a pretty good chance. In fact, if they listen to this podcast, you may be ahead of me by the time we sign off here, quite honestly. I think I've probably been a little bit more critical than you have been to this point in the game. And you know, that's a fair point. And Troy made it too. and I want to as well, which is they have offered Dak Prescott a lot of money. And they've offered him a lot of money for a long time. They offered what they described as being, you know, a top five quarterback salary when they went to training camp last year. So it's not like they don't recognize he has value and he hasn't been treated fairly. They have made a concerted effort and it's been their priority to get this done. I just think that, that to me, you don't let your fear of setting a precedent with a 4-year extension be the issue that prevents you from having long-term security at the most important position in the game. And our understanding is that the Cowboys wanted this deal to be 5 years. Dak wanted 4 years or less so that, you know, when that TV revenue comes in, assuming given the circumstances we're living in right now, but it eventually does, he wants to be able to take advantage of that and be a free agent, you know, before he turns 30. And that's understandable given what he's made the first 4 years he was in the league, not commensurate with his value to his team. But if I'm the Cowboys, you know, as much as I might believe that, hey, when you're getting paid at this level, I want a 5-year more commitment. I want to be able to spread that salary cap and that guaranteed money over a longer period of time so that it creates more flexibility to sign other players to allow you to be great and for our team to succeed. You know, I just can't believe that putting yourself in this situation isn't worse than just giving in on the 4-year deal. Because at some point during the 4-year deal, you know, you're going to be able to negotiate another extension. That's going to create another favorable situation for your team. And this is the worst possible outcome that they could have had with Dak Prescott, their most important player. And I think it really probably all started with what they did with the, you know, I think rewarding him for holding out and doing what they said they wouldn't, make him the highest paid running back in football, that was a mistake. And that's played a role in this outcome with Dak Prescott today, who plays a much more important position. And I understand why it happened. I even said at the time that I would pay Ezekiel Elliott because, unlike most teams, the Cowboys are built around their running back, not their quarterback.
Yeah.
That proved not to be true with the way they played last season. Some of that being because their defense and their special teams were so bad, they're playing from behind all the time. But you got to take care of the quarterback before you take care of the running back, especially when the running back's not doing it the right way and the quarterback is, and the quarterback's about to go out of contract and the running back was a first round pick and you have 2 years of team control left. You have to keep your priorities straight in that situation. So
let me ask you this. Okay. Let's say there is a 2020 season and we're all sort of hoping and counting on that. Is Dak Prescott the quarterback of the Cowboys in 2021? As you sit here and look at this situation today, what does your gut tell you?
Yeah, I think he will be. Obviously, the big risk for Dak is injury. And, you know, the way he plays the game and the fact that Travis Frederick's not going to be there, maybe that increases the risk just a little bit more than it would for most other players at his position.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to think that if
they'll do 31.4.
Yeah. I think he's going to have a better, you know, with CeeDee Lamb, with Mike McCarthy, with Kellen Moore having more experience, I would fully expect Dak to have one of his better seasons. I mean, he's shown progress throughout the course of his career through 4 years. I'd expect that to continue. And I think then the Cowboys will be in the position of, well, do we just let him play on the franchise tag again at $37 million? Yeah, I think he'll be the quarterback for this year and for next year. And after that, I think, is the big unknown.
Okay. And as you made the point today via Twitter, for people that don't quite understand how that works, it'll keep going up. And so there could be another tag that would occur in 2022 that would go up to somewhere around $54 million, which is, sounds like pure insanity at this point. And, you would think something would have to give at that point, but you're right. If they, 31.4 jumps to 37, you could see them trying to do it, but a very, very strange approach that they've taken. Ed, I really appreciate it. We're in different parts of the country. You can probably tell, but still with Frito doing a nice job, Frito Nation Productions, we've been able to kind of pull this off. I've gone to Ed, one of the parts of the country that really they've done really well with this COVID, Florida, and but I'm staying. I'm being very, very protective, and I haven't gotten within 10 feet of anybody. In fact, during this conversation, when someone kind of was walking my direction, I got up and moved. So I'm doing everything I can. I know you are. I know Frito is back in Allen, and you've been between Colorado and Allen, seeing little Henry, Delilah, the whole gang. But good to be back with you, and I appreciate you bringing so much insight to this emergency Doomsday podcast.
Well, it's been enjoyable, and hopefully the PR staff will continue to socially distance itself from you to excess once they decide how we're going to handle training camp, and we can be out there. And while we won't be able to make the same observations, probably won't have the same interview opportunities, I think we can bring valuable insight and analysis to the process here.
I think we can continue to do that. Great stuff from Ed Werder there in the Dallas area. And for Frito Nation and Ed, I am signing off. This has been the Doomsday Podcast. Have been hung.